everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode 220. Larry here, and I am joined by Anthony, but a different Anthony this week. I'm joined by my longtime friend and my former partner on the Yin and the Yang podcast, Mr. Anthony Chu. Anthony, how are you?
Okay, well, I had to play that, Larry, because let's be honest, I haven't heard from you in a long while. You've been so busy with stuff. Your schedule's just been crazy. My schedule's been crazy. So finally, I get to see you, my friend. You look good.
Thank
you. Feeling good, of course, I'm sure. And, oh, no, come on. Now, at the same time, it's an honor for me to come back here to be the guest host. It's just that, you know, it's like I haven't been doing any podcasting since the show was off the air. And a lot of people have been asking why, you know, what happened. It's just that I wanted to reconfigure the show and really try to really just rebuild it and create something new out of it. But I just, you know what it is? I have not had the time to really do that. So I'm sorry, guys, if you know, it's been forever. Man, I haven't spoken to you since last year, if you can imagine that.
It's been a minute. Shame on both of us, but it's been a minute. And but we're here. We're here now, and it's going to be a fun time to kind of get that, again, reunited, get that flow, I think, back going with us.
Every time I come on this show, I always have a good time. It's always a good time, man. I got my coffee with me. I got my friend with me. Hey, man, what more do you want in this world, right? Best friend of coffee, right?
Stack of 20s, yay big, I'll take. Okay. So we got a good episode on tap. First and foremost, though, I just want to start off with a what do they call it in the newspaper when they make a mistake and then they put in like they correct their mistake. I forgot what they call that. Someone will call me out on it. No, something. Okay. Anyway, I forgot what it's called. But so this one last week, myself and Anthony were talking about the hardest NES games that are out there. Just difficult games. One of them being the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. I mean, just ridiculously difficult, especially that underwater board with the seaweed.
Oh, yeah. Seaweed.
And I said that I saw a video on YouTube where you can turn off the electricity of the seaweed and then be able to swim freely. As the internet normally does, it corrected me very quickly.
And,
so I'd like to just come on and say, retraction, I guess. I don't know. You cannot turn the electricity off in TMNT. I've said it before and I said it again. We're here to reminisce and talk about the old days. We're never going to be 100% correct. And me and Anthony and this Anthony and the other Anthony, you know, we never admit to being absolute, you know, geniuses and pros to the history of these games, but we bring you our fun, our nostalgia of this. And as always, I like to feel that the listeners are just part of our conversation when they listen.
Have you ever beaten that game?
Absolutely not.
Really? Are you kidding? You've never beaten TMNT, the first one?
The first one? No, I never owned it. So
that's even more mind-boggling because I thought that... I thought you did.
No, I had the second one, the arcade game, but I never owned the first one, and it's on my list. Right now, I'm trying to beat Castlevania 3.
You're talking about the first one that came out on NES?
Yep.
You've never owned that? Oh, no. Man, dude.
I hated it.
Okay, this is going to sound wild, but I think if mom didn't throw away all my NES games, I think I still have it in their house.
Really? You would have had one.
I might. All hey, right. Listen, if you want it, man, and I find it, you know, I'll be glad to.
I have it now.
Oh, you do?
Okay. Yeah, but before, back in the day, no, I definitely never owned it.
Oh, so. I see.
But so we got some good stuff happening this week. Let's kick off the episode right now, though, with a couple of anniversaries, or as we like to call them, retro birthdays.
Okay.
On tap. And the first one, which is... It's a big one, in my opinion, at least in my fandom. I know we spoke before we started recording, and I know you're more into the other game we're going to talk about. But the first one here, released in North America on February 12th, 1990.
Mm.
The game that was introduced in the mega, quote-unquote, blockbuster, quote-unquote, movie, The Wizard. We're talking about Super Mario Brothers 3. This game, to say it's iconic, is just, there's got to be more to it than that. This game was phenomenal.
Okay, so I remember beating Super Mario 2. And I remember basically at the end of the game, Mario was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all a dream.
It was all a dream. Yep.
Okay. Now, in 3, is he really living? Here's the debate that everybody's been asking about that game. How does he get back into the world of Super Mario 3? Is that a dream too? Or is that really a reality of his world?
Actually, it's come out that I think Shigeru Miyamoto.
What does it have to do with it?
What is what?
Or does it not have anything to do with it?
What, 2 and 3?
Meaning that, like, it was a
They're
dream.
They're not necessarily linked.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Well, I mean, 2 is just a reskinned game of a Japanese game. You know, the real Super Mario Brothers 2, we didn't get to Lost Levels,
mm-hmm.
which came out on Super Nintendo.
But right.
Super Mario Brothers 3, and remember, the way it's set up, it kind of looks like a play. Like, the curtain opens in the beginning, it closes at the end. The set, you can go behind the set, if you will.
Hmm.
And Miyamoto had, I believe, come out in an interview saying, yeah, basically Super Mario Brothers 3 is a play, in essence.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
But still, the game is phenomenal. It introduced the overworlds where you can kind of choose your path, kind of, sort of.
It was a play that played well.
Yes, absolutely. It introduced us to, more power-ups than just the Fire Flower, the Frog suit, the Tanuki suit, the Raccoon suit, the Hammer Brothers suit. And, of course, like I said, you know, watching The Wizard with Fred Savage, and then they get to Video Armageddon, and, you know, his little brother, Jimmy Woods, comes out, and they're ready to play the final game, a game they never heard of. And here is Super Mario Brothers 3 debuting in a major motion picture. So, which is also kind of weird, because then, like, they knew, like, the girl knew, like, where the warp whistle was, which always threw me off for a loop. Like, how do you know where the warp whistle is on a game?
I don't understand that.
Doesn't exist.
Because it's saying that it has no... Was that the film that they said was one of a kind because it had no screenplay?
Well, I don't know about that.
Or in other words, like none of the games were choreographed.
No, I don't believe that. I mean, I don't believe that. Probably not Wizard. It had to be something else, because I'm sure.
I mean, according to Fred Savage, but the guy who played his brother.
Jimmy Woods?
Yeah. He claims that there was, like, all the games were actually played. There was no, like Nintendo or you know, didn't send them anything to choreograph it, or they didn't specifically.
Nah, I don't believe it. I mean, it was a giant Nintendo commercial, basically what it was.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But yeah, no, Super Mario Brothers 3, probably my favorite Super Mario Brothers of the original 3.
Mm.
And yeah, just iconic, to say the least.
Mm. Mm.
And the other anniversary that we have here, being released in North America, February 6, 1991. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the anniversary of Street Fighter 2.
Yes. I cannot begin to tell you how many quarters I have given up to feed the machine. The rolls, I'm talking about with a huge S, rolls of quarters I have spent on that game is unreal to even think about. I must have spent at least close to probably about $70 to $80.
I believe it.
Or maybe more. I mean, to be honest with you, it was, when that game came out, it was so unbelievable. It was like, it was crazy. It came out when I was in high school, right? Because it came out, well, you said 1992?
The arcade machine came out officially February of 91.
Okay. So I was a sophomore in high school, right? It was school, Street Fighter II, Taekwondo class, Street Fighter II. And then I went home. That was a repeat process at least 3 days a week. It was just, oh man, that game.
Oh. When this game came out, I always remember going, I don't remember Street Fighter One. Like, what is this Street Fighter Two?
I don't remember one either. Is there a one?
Oh, no, really? There is a one. Yeah, it's called Fighting Street. It was on the TurboGrafx CD. And it only featured, I think you only played as Ken and Ryu, and Saget was the final boss. That's where he gets the scar, actually, technically, at the end of the first game. But no, Street Fighter 2, to say it was a literal game changer as far as fighting games are concerned. It really blew the doors down for fighting games.
It revolutionized fighting games because for the first time, like especially during that time period, a lot of martial arts styles have never been seen in this country. Like, you might have heard of it, but now you also got to remember, for those of you who are listening to this, I'm sure you have a target audience. A good percentage of your target audience would think that this is crazy, because this is a world where there's no social media, there's no internet, there's no...
You're saying we have a young audience and we're all...
In other words, there's not as many communicative devices, you know, as we have now. So people have not really, like, you know, nowadays, you know, you can search anything on the internet that you want, right? And you could find out anything you want. You could see anything you want, like on YouTube and stuff. But like a style like that Saget uses is Muay Thai, right? The art of Thai kickboxing. People have never, in 91, most people in this country don't know what that is. They've never seen that style of martial arts. They recognize Ken and Ryu mainly because they know of the karate gis that they wear, right? So karate's been in this, you know, has been known in this country for decades. But a system of fighting like, you know, or like even yoga, you know, was
yoga flame,
right, as known back then. Who was the guy or girl that you used the most?
My go-to was Chun Li. Chun Li
was it really?
Well, originally it was E Honda because he had the thousand hand slap. And I remember when my very first go around of Street Fighter II was at the Breezy Point Surf Club in Breezy Point, New York. And I remember they wheeled this machine in and I'm like, what the hell is Street Fighter II? And I put a quarter in and I must have played and I lasted for like a half hour
That first,
because this was before though, we kind of, the you know, cheaping became involved. So I would just catch him in the corner and thousand hand slap him until they were done. Later on, you know, that was deemed kind of like, you know, unprofessional. Right. So I would stop doing that. And then that's when I switched over to Chun-Li, who I felt was quicker. I liked her move sets better. And just overall, I was more comfortable with her fighting style. And it's weird, you know, in a way, you know, I even catch myself now as like, you know, Chun-Li versus Chun-Li. It's Chun. I don't know where the G came from, but Chun-Li. But she was my go-to. Who's your go-to?
It's funny that you mentioned Honda, and I'll tell you why. I originally really don't like using Honda because it just, you know, I like the playability of Guile better.
Okay.
I love Guile. Guile is pretty awesome. But the reason why I used Honda so much is because in high school, I was bullied a lot. So, you know, being the Asian guy, you know, you got people going, oh, hey, look at that fat kid over there. You know, he looks like E Honda, right? Why don't you use E Honda to beat me or whatever, like if you can. So I would use Honda a lot. And little did they know is I beat him. I practically beat almost everybody with Honda.
There you go.
But I love using Guile. The worst person to use in the game is Blanca. Blanca.
Yeah. Blanca was, I was never crazy about Dalsim, but.
Well, Dalsim, I like using Dalsim because with his yoga, he can stretch.
So this is
he
true. Can
kick you from like 8 feet, 10 feet away, and you can't even get near the guy as long as you know how to play defense with him.
True.
Okay. Ken or Ryu, which one's better?
Is it Ryu or Ryu?
Ooh.
I think officially it's Ryu.
Ryu, yeah.
Of course, you know, right. Kind of like Gojira and Godzilla, you know, we kind of took our way with it and made Ryu. No, it would be Ryu for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was Ken. I actually thought Ken was the more experienced fighter.
So here's some trivia for you. I know a lot of our listeners out there will already know the answers, or a lot of them will probably know this, but I know, and I'm not saying, Ant, that you're not familiar with the game, just I know you're probably not familiar with the deep lore or the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So the four bosses, if you will, mm-hmm. in the beginning, in the first game, the first Street Fighter 2, because later on they were playable. Balrog, Vega, Sagat, and M. Bison. Three of them had their names changed here in the U.S. versus in Japan. And all it was swapping. They swapped the names. Do you remember, do you know who was who over in Japan?
Mm.
Again, the names were switched here for somewhat obvious reasons, actually.
So Balrog, I think, is one of the names because he's Mike Tyson.
Correct. So over in Japan, they called him, what do you think?
Tyson?
No. The names were switched. Like, no, all right. So in Japan, Balrog was called M. Bison.
Oh, really?
In Japan, because of the similarities to Mike Tyson.
Oh.
So, of course, when they come
Tyson,
here.
Tyson. Okay. Yeah.
That's not
Holy
happening.
Smokes.
So Bison was actually called, I believe, Bison was called Vega in Japan, M. Bison. Mm-hmm. Balrog was M. Bison, and Vega was Balrog. Sagat was the only one that kept his name over in Japan.
I've always thought that Vega was like this. When I first saw him on the screen, I was like, who is this Wolverine wannabe? Yeah, because he has the claw, you know. And I was just like, this is a ripoff, man. Like, are they going to get sued for this?
That's why they changed the names.
They kept playing, right?
That's why they changed the names.
Sagat?
Kept his name. He's the only one that kept his name.
Right.
Yeah.
Bison himself. I thought it was a ripoff of some sort of like comic book character in Japan, no?
Yeah, not really.
Okay.
At least not that I know of.
I think the most powerful guy there is Bison. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's the end boss. Leader of Shadaloo. All right. So, yeah, no, Street Fighter 2, big time. So, happy birthday. Happy retro birthday to both Super Bros. 3 and Street Fighter 2. And, you know, you mentioned some interesting things about Street Fighter 2, how it introduced a lot of kind of Eastern styles to the West.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to take this opportunity to basically, first of all, wish you and, you know, any of our fans out there who would celebrate as well, Happy Lunar New Year.
Hey.
And,
Gong Hei Fa Choi.
And I think there might be a lot of people out there who may not be familiar. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like the deep dive into the history, but like, you know, like kind of what Lunar New Year is all about. I think it's the Year of the Ox, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, basically, it's the Year of the Ox, and the ox represents change. It represents strength. And trust me, folks, when I say, fans, we need change from what happened last year.
What was last year's?
I do not recall.
It wasn't rat, was it?
Was it the chicken? No?
I don't know.
Okay. All I know is that last year was bad. Whatever it is. It was not a good thing. The ox represents strength, resilience, change, which is definitely something that we definitely do need. For most people in Asian countries who celebrate either the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, whatever you want to call it, basically it's really about family, friends, you know, just basically unity. Amongst, like, you know, in other words, like, if there was no COVID going on right now, we didn't have a pandemic, I would be home with my family having a huge dinner. The best part is, you know, you get these red envelopes that have money in it. Yes. And so the rule is that if you're single, you get, right? But if you're married, you give.
Ah,
because the belief is that you have two incomes.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you give.
Yeah.
And then really, you know, it's about taking care of the people around you. It's a very festive thing. Like in Hong Kong, they celebrated for 2 weeks.
There you go.
So imagine, you know, a holiday celebrated for 2 weeks, you shut down the entire city and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. And a lot of it, and you know, and funny thing that you mentioned, I mentioned the red envelopes. A lot of that money I used as a kid went right to the video games.
There you go.
So, I mean, you know, so at least I had free play.
That's good. That's good.
Money, you know?
Well, again, Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you too, brother.
Yes. To all of our, you know, Asian listeners out there. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention a game, man. Actually, you brought this up to me as well, because it's also going to lead into our main topic of the day. But there was a game that you mentioned that when I was doing some research on this, mm-hmm. actually there ended up being a different version of this game I didn't realize existed. But, you know, you mentioned to me about, first of all, one of your, do I call him an idol? Do I call him a mentor? I don't know how to call him.
Idol, mentor, inspiration.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Jeez, a true influencer. You know, these, and absolutely. We're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of this term influencer. As a YouTube artist, no, we're not influencers, but this man definitely was an influencer. And we're talking about the video game based on the movie Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Right.
Came out on just real quick, came out on actually a multitude of systems,
right?
In 1994, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, the Atari Jaguar came out on, also Game Gear and Master System.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you have? Did you own this game or you just rented it a lot?
Oh, I own this game.
Okay. All right. What did you own it on?
Super NES.
Super NES. And what do you remember about this game?
Well, it's interesting because it really takes, if anybody's ever seen Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, the movie was released in 1994, I believe, right? Was mm-hmm. it 93 or 94?
I'll let you know in a few seconds.
But I do know for a fact that it took all the martial art fight scenes or the action sequences and condensed it and put it into the game itself. So you'll notice that as you fight a person, if you lose, you have one of these feng shui type of like mirrors that appear. If you lose three times, you fight the demon that had haunted Bruce. And if you beat him, all three of these are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start fresh again, like you have like brand new lives or something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, then you perish in the game.
Which is an interesting take that you're basically your game over, but the game gives you one more shot. Like you have to earn your continue.
Which is
basically.
Really odd.
Very cool. Yeah. No, it's a cool concept.
I never beat the game.
Okay.
You know, you fight the sailor, you fight like the person who challenged Bruce to an actual fight in real life, Wong Jack Man. And I remember you fight somebody in an ice factory. And then I think that there's one more. I forgot. And I never progressed farther than that fourth level boss.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult. You know,
the game was
impossible to beat. The only person I knew who beat him was Anthony.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Our very own Anthony.
Uh-huh.
They rip up. Shocking. The game on Super.
Wait. For the record, I have to say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
He cheaped him. He cheaped him.
Did he?
So bad to beat the demon. And I was like, wow, that was crazy. My mind was just blown at that.
So this game plays, it's a Street Fighter type game. That's how it's played.
Yes.
Like Anthony said, you take on the sailor from the dance in Hong mm-hmm. Kong, the chefs from the Chinese restaurant in San Francisco.
Oh, that's it. Yes. You fight two chefs, I think. Yeah.
The martial arts master who challenges Lee, amongst others, as per Wikipedia.
Right.
It's weird. It's a two-player game, but it's kind of weird. To me, that never made sense because when you play as a second player, you just play as a clone Bruce Lee, which just...
I don't get that. Just,
it didn't make sense. So they should have left it alone as like a one-player game, but
right.
There's
no plot line either.
No. Well, they kind of leave. I mean, let's face facts. If they would have went by the plot of the movie, like in 1994, when you're playing this game, did you want to see like like a romantic interlude between him and his wife or his girlfriend at the time.
You know what's really funny about this game is that just like a typical martial art film in the 90s, there's no plot. There's horrible acting. There's it's just fight scenes.
It's basically so what it is. It's all we wanted.
I don't even know if that's a parody of what a typical martial art film was, but they just basically just showed you all the fights. They don't care about anything else, which is the most hilarious part about it.
So the game originally was wanted to be basically a Streets of Rage type game.
Yes.
That's what they were looking for.
Very reflective of Streets of Rage, yes.
But they ended up going with the Street Fighter II aspect, which is fine in itself. Don't get me wrong. Now, here's the thing, though, kind of when I was doing my research looking through this, there are, if you're not into the like one-on-one Street Fighter type version of the game, if you pick it up on either Game Gear or Master System, it is basically a side-scrolling action game. It's not a one-on-one fighter.
What?
Exactly. So if you pick up, again, either the Game Gear or the Master System, and those are basically the same game, you know, obviously whatever advantages or disadvantages as per the hardware that they're on, but it will play as a, essentially as a side-scroller.
No.
And absolutely. And it's wild to watch, you know, and in fact, oh. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take like a quick moment, a quick second, because apparently Anthony's never seen this before. I'm going to pause the podcast for you guys. It's only going to be a second for Anthony, though. I'm just going to send you a clip, a link, so you can see the Game Gear version. And, you know, just I want to get your reaction to seeing this. How many years later, realizing there's a whole different version of the game? So
my mind is wild. I'm holy smokes.
So just give us a few moments here.
You gotta be kidding me here. Oh no way.
So what? This is the Game Gear version, and I don't know how good I'm gonna sync this up, but I'm gonna try and show it as well.
Holy smokes.
So as you can see, it's basically a side scroller.
Oh wow. That is nuts. I've never seen Well, at least you get to hit the villain more than it's like playing, dude. It's like playing. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of if Streets of Rage, like you said, right? And Bad Dudes came together.
Bad Dudes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
This is crazy. Okay.
All right. So,
man.
So we're gonna put a stop to that then. So you watch the rest of that later.
Definitely will.
So as you can see, and that, again, that's the Game Gear version. The Master System basically is kind of like that. So so who knew, right? After all these years.
I can't believe what I just
said. You have to go out and buy yourself a Game Gear and find yourself dragging the Bruce Lee story.
I think so. And you know what? I may have to make a trip to Game On.
There you go. I like the sound of that.
I may have to go to Game On.
I'll meet you there. Wow. I have to see if they even have it.
Wow. Thank you. I never knew that even existed until you mentioned it, you know?
So with that, we're going to get into our main topic of the day. And actually, we're going to flip the script on that one. So that Dragon, a Bruce Lee story, is a video game based on a movie. So now we're going to talk about movies based on video games, because we've gotten some new information over the week of, in the last couple of weeks, I should say. We've gotten some updates from Hollywood. About some upcoming projects. We mentioned last week, I didn't even know this was coming out, a brand new, almost like a reboot of the live action Resident Evil series is heading to theaters.
Wow.
In early September of this year.
Nice.
We're getting a new Mortal Kombat movie. It's supposed to come out in April, actually. As far as I know, that Mortal Kombat's going to be on HBO Max and in theaters as well. But it's a new Mortal Kombat movie. We're getting the Uncharted movie, which is supposed to come out February of 2022. And just announced the release date for Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which is right now scheduled for April 8th, 2022.
Jim Carrey?
I would assume he's coming back as Robotnik. I thought he did amazing. Did you see the first Sonic? Did you see the Sonic movie?
I saw parts and parts. I didn't see the whole thing.
I'm telling you, watch it. It's a really good movie. It really was good. And remember, Sonic went through, like, we almost owe it to see the Sonic movie because of the backlash that Paramount got when they released that original trailer with Sonic, and he looked terrible.
Right.
And Paramount, to their credit, went back, re-edited the animation, and gave us the Sonic that ended up in the movie, which is 100 times better than the original Sonic was going to be. And I feel that changed the tone of the movie. And of course, Sonic 2, first of all, it was great. They played the actual game music when they did this quick date reveal, which is on our Instagram page. Mm-hmm. And on the two, like Sonic the Hedgehog is blue, two is yellow with a couple of tails at the end. And as we know, spoiler alert for you, Tails makes a surprise appearance after the credits. So we're going to get Tails in this movie.
I'm happy now.
Yes. So, you know, it's going to be really good.
Oh, cool.
And just to mention some other movies that are coming out. Let's see. Minecraft is supposed to be getting a movie next June, 2022. In development. I mean, Borderlands. A sequel.
That's going to be crazy. Right? I love that game.
Let's see. A Mega Man movie.
Now, in Japan.
Tentative.
Do they have a Mega Man movie already?
I don't think they made one. No.
Or was that an animation?
Well, there was an animated television series, like an anime that was really good.
But not a live action one, right?
Actually, know what I did last night from recording? Because we're actually recording on Valentine's Day. So happy belated Valentine's Day, everybody. There is a fan-made Mega Man movie on YouTube. It's got to be like 10 years old. And it's fan-made. So don't think anything of it if you're watching it. You're like, oh, I've seen better. You have seen better. But it's fun to watch anyway. It's like an hour and a half. And I watched the whole thing. It was quite interesting. It was quite fun to watch. They filmed it in New York. It was pretty cool. But this is going to be a big budget Mega Man. I don't know if it's live action or animated. It looks like it's supposed to go to Netflix. Or Netflix is doing it. Remember Crossfire? Remember the board game Crossfire?
Yes, I do remember that.
That's getting a game. I mean, a movie.
No.
Yep. The sequel to Detective Pikachu. Detective Pikachu was awesome. And if it wasn't for Detective Pikachu, I don't think we would have gotten the Sonic movie that we got.
On a side note, and I will, for those of you who are Pokemon fans, I was actually set up by a friend of mine with this one young lady I had met this some years back. It's probably like 8 years back. Now, my last name is Chu, right? When I met this girl, my friend would not tell me what her name was. I finally meet her based on just like going out with a group of friends, right? Just to like, you know, break the monotony or break the ice. And I said, hey, how are you? How you doing? My name is Anthony. It's a pleasure to meet you. She goes, oh, my name is Pika. And we all just broke out laughing because if she married me, what would her name be? Pikachu. Now, okay.
You got to catch them all.
Hey, man. Well, she's also married to somebody named with the last name, Michaelson. Something else.
There you go. So,
yeah, Pickle Michaelson, right? Anyway, hey, listen, I got a question for you.
All right.
When you look at movies, or in video games that turn into movies, right? Mortal Kombat, Resident Evil, Sonic. Let me ask you this. You're an expert retro gamer. And so is Anthony. What is it do you feel, or what is it in your opinion that gives these franchises like longevity? Because we live in a world now where everything is made for the now. It's not made for 10, 20, 30 years. But it's crazy because if you played Resident Evil 50 years from now or Mortal Kombat 50 years from now, people will still think it's cool. What do you think is that secret ingredient or ingredients that or elements that make up longevity for a franchise like this?
It's going to vary. I think it's got to be the gameplay, the story, the how different it is. Like Mortal Kombat was so different from Street Fighter that it definitely stand on its own, especially the violence factor. That's what we all fell in love with. You know, during the 90s, it was all about that, you know, that hardcore kind of violence video games that we enjoyed.
Yeah, but we have violence now in video games.
What's no, I know, but a lot of us are used to it now.
Oh.
Like almost desensitized to a point. That's a whole other topic, don't get me wrong. And I'm not trying to get into, you know, like those, do the video games cause real life violence? I'm not getting into that.
Do you say the same for Resident Evil as well?
Resident Evil, the horror genre. And there were horror games before Resident Evil, but Resident Evil just did it differently. That scared the hell out of you.
Right.
And did it properly. Now when these, and I'm not a Hollywood expert, don't get me wrong, but like when these games get transferred to Hollywood, like the first video game movie basically was Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. And let's face facts. As much as there's a place in my heart for that movie, it's a bad movie. You know, with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. To a point where Bob Hoskins in interviews have always said the worst movie I ever made was Super Mario Brothers. Like he said that was his worst experience ever on a movie set.
Wow.
And that's probably even worse than dealing with the issues. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but you know, he started Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where he had to act against cartoons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So, you know, but, you know, now Super Mario Brothers just kind of, it's so bad, it's good. That's kind of like why I love Mystery Science Theater, those type of movies. But the movie is so far different from the game. Resident Evil kind of really, the series ended up going in such a weird direction from the game. And I'm not saying the game has to be cookie cutter. I'm not saying that at all. The movie has to be cookie cutter of the game. Dungeons and Dragons. Remember that movie, you know, with Marlon Wayans.
Yep.
You know, but that, like, to me, a Dungeons and Dragons movie should have been about, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, it should be about players who get sucked into the fantasy world.
Right.
But it just went straight to the fantasy world, which is fine. That's what Dungeons and Dragons leads it to. But, you know, I think the longevity is just how it sticks with you. And you know, the love of these characters like Sonic, like Mortal Kombat. We do love these characters, Resident Evil, all of them. And then you get a game like a movie like Detective Pikachu. And for the longest time, again, with these adaptations of movies to video games to movies, a lot of liberties were always taken and things were changed up. Almost like our 1998 Godzilla. The Matthew Broderick Godzilla was so different than the Godzilla we know and love today. The one that's going to take on Kong, hopefully, you know, soon this year. When Detective Pikachu came out, those Pokemon were basically ripped from the video game. And the only thing that was changed on them was fur. Like they added some fur to give it real life. Otherwise, as wacky as the Pokemon looked, they kept that look in the movie and it worked. They didn't have to try and make it look real. Mm. Like Pikachu did not have to look like a yellow raccoon for it to work. He looked like Pikachu. Psyduck looked like Psyduck, you know, Dittos looked like Dittos. So I think that's where finally when that happened and then the outcry for Sonic, when we're like, look, we want a Sonic that looks like the game and we got a Sonic that looked like the game.
Right.
I think we finally said, you know, like us being the fans, like, look, Hollywood, you can pull these characters straight out of the game, throw them in a real world situation and we will accept it. It's only a move. The idea for entertainment is to remove us from reality so we can handle these. So, but then, you know, you get a game like a movie like Tomb Raider. I'm not even talking about the Lara Croft one. I'm talking about the newer one from a few years ago.
Right.
You know, and we're going to get a sequel to that. And Uncharted is going to come out. And again, these are iconic characters that we grew up on, that we're used to, which is going to lead to Minecraft when the Minecraft movie comes out. We did not grow up on Minecraft. But kids today, Minecraft, Roblox, you know, those might be the ones for the future down the road. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, today's younger generation will feel for those movies like we do for Mortal Kombat and Tomb Raider and all that.
Okay, let me ask you what I call a thought process question. Okay.
Okay.
I want you to think and take a moment to think about this. And I'll give you my answer first. So just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Can you name me through video, you know, basically movies that came from video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Name me your favorite movie, your least favorite movie, and here's the third one, a game that should have gotten a movie. Okay, take your time. I'll give you my answer first.
All right, you go.
Okay. My favorite video game that turned into a movie for me personally, I thought was Resident Evil.
The first one?
The first one with Michelle Rodriguez. I thought that was great.
Which I'll just real quick on a side note, because I'll give a little stats. Resident Evil came out March 15th, 2002. Worldwide box office was just shy of $103 million.
That's a lot of money at that
point. That's a very lot of money. And the critics panned it.
Yeah.
They didn't like it, which is, you know, why I don't listen to critics.
Once critics pan it, that means it's going to be successful.
Yep.
Because just like musicians, when they make music, they don't make music for critics to bash. They make music for their fans to listen to over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
My least favorite film that came out of video games, it's a tie. You ready?
Okay.
Oh, there's going to be people so mad at me for this. I absolutely despise Double Dragon. It was horrible.
It's terrible.
It was one of the worst films I think I sat through. Right next to Tank Girl. I know people Tank really going to be mad at me for this. Okay. It was horrible.
Double Dragon released November 4th, 1994. Worldwide box office, $4.1 million.
There's a reason for that. And right tied next to, are you ready for this one? And you're going to really be surprised at this. Street Fighter.
The first one. The Muscles from Brussels, released December 23rd, 1994. Just shot, $99.4 million worldwide.
I just don't understand why. Why? He couldn't do any of the moves that Guile did. Okay.
He did. He did the spin kick and, you know, he did a sonic boom. I can do a
spin kick.
Kind of.
You didn't, well, they didn't cast you this Guile. Okay.
Well, he couldn't, you know, I mean, Guile, this all-American, right? Armed Forces Guile. And who do they get him to play? The Muscles from Brussels.
Yeah, I mean, come on. With a Belgian accent.
With a thick Belgian, at least try.
Yeah. Now, a game to me that I felt should have been a movie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We spent countless amount of hours playing this. You ready? Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, that would be a really good movie.
Why did that film not get? Because when you actually conceptually think about it, the game is created based upon a movie-like concept.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it not become
Maybe that's why.
Is that what you think?
Maybe.
But there's so many different endings. I mean, like, you know, they could have done a lot with it. You know? Okay.
True.
What do you think?
You mean about my answers for those questions?
Yes, sir.
All right. So probably my favorite, I know it's newer, but my favorite movie so far has been Detective Pikachu.
Really?
No, for real. Because, and I'm not a Pokemon. I never really played Pokemon. Don't get me wrong.
I think my nephews will agree with you.
But just to see how they, like I said, they literally just pulled the Pokemon from the game, you know, and ran with it in a real world situation.
Yep.
And I thought it was funny. You know, quite enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But just what they did with it, I'm like, yes, this is what a video game movie should look like.
Right.
So that's why I love Detective Pikachu, which is actually, and again, I don't know when these numbers were last updated, but as of Wikipedia, Detective Pikachu is the second Hollywood live action grossing movie, released May 10th, 2019, made $433 million.
Wow.
Worldwide.
That's serious.
Only defeated by Warcraft, which made $439 million, which is not a good movie.
That's surprising. That's very surprising.
My least favorite movie, that's going to be a tough one. I haven't really seen all of them. I think I did see House of the Dead, and it was not good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
That was not good. Something about Double Dragon I love. So I'm never really going to say anything about that.
My head hurts thinking about it now.
But probably my least favorite. Yeah, probably would have to be. I'm gonna go with that. Yeah, the House of the Dead movie just wasn't everything it was up to par for me, at least.
Yeah,
and those are the live action movies. Mm-hmm. You know, remember we had a few animated movies, including a new Super Mario Brothers animated movie is going to be coming out soon.
See, I don't find that animated movies should count, and I'll tell you why. You can do a lot of stuff with anime. Animated stuff. You could do a lot with it.
It's about the story. Look, that first Pokemon movie, like the animated movie, which Detective Pikachu actually kind of sort of works off of the Pokemon, the first movie. Okay. I remember that movie was great.
But no, wait a minute. Can you say now that like a video game technically is an animation come to life on your screen that you control?
Mm-hmm.
Would you really want to see an animated video game, a video game that's animated, and then when they make it a movie, you see another animation?
Yeah, look.
The difference is you can't control it. So what? Why?
Because I like animated movies.
Okay. Well, now, wait a minute. That's subjective. So
your whole topic is subjective.
I just find that it's a lot more difficult to create a video game and then turn it into a live action film. For those of you who can pull it off,
well, it's always
like a Mortal Kombat. Yeah. That's amazing to me. I don't think it takes a whole lot of effort to go from one animation to another one. I could be completely wrong. I just don't have, and I like animated stuff. Don't get me wrong. I really do. I just don't think that it takes a lot of effort to do.
All right.
Anybody think differently? Email us. Let us know. Give me your opinions. I bet you, I think I just have people who are going to start a petition now. Like, don't ever let this guy co-host the show ever again.
Well, you did call Mario a painter one time. So we have gotten letters before.
You called Mario a painter?
No, you called Mario a painter. Yes.
Wait a minute. Didn't you agree with me?
I wasn't on that episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You weren't. Okay.
So, but tons of
you know when to wear the mask, I guess, you know,
tons of movies. Yeah, if you don't like animated, then don't even bother because Japan has so many animated.
Well, what's a movie that you felt that should have been created? I'm sorry, a video game that should have been made.
I mean, really, at this point, like a Mega Man movie, I think would have been cool, or a Castlevania.
You got to go with
the big budget names. You know what I mean?
Well, we're getting a Mega Man movie.
We're getting one, but we haven't gotten it yet.
Okay.
So, but like, you know, like DOA, what, remember like Dead or Alive, that went straight to video. It was fun. That was about it. But you know, you get some of these more heavy hitters, you know, Rampage. I've been waiting for a long time for a Rampage movie to come out. And it kind of, again, that's a movie that I felt took liberties to change the script. That was the one that The Rock was in. And you know, it had a giant gorilla, a giant lizard, and a giant, George, Lizzie, and Ralph, a giant werewolf. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, okay.
And you know, Rampage is all about destroying cities. And as much as a city got destroyed, it was like, you know, I felt like they could have done more with Rampage. And then also what I do like, though, in these movies, sometimes the ones that try and take themselves seriously, like Rampage Double Dragon tried to be serious in a way, meaning like as much as it was over the top, like it wasn't too goofy, like in Rampage, in the scene when you're in like the main bad guys, like headquarters or whatever, in the background, there's a stand-up cabinet of Rampage arcade machine. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, there you go. There's your connection to the video game. Battleship. I mean, look at the movie Battleship, based on the board game, right? Mm-hmm. If that movie was titled anything else other than Battleship, I think that would have been an amazing sci-fi movie. Mm. But because it was based on Battleship, an amazing board game. Don't get me wrong, Battleship is iconic mm-hmm. of a board game, but the way that movie ended up being with aliens, like, where do you get aliens from in Battleship? Mm-hmm. See, that's the liberties I have trouble with. Now, the saving factor of Battleship is the fact that they actually got crew members of the original World War II battleships that they ended up breaking out into sea. And I thought that was really cool. And they used actual veterans in the movies, in that movie. So that was top notch.
Oh,
but, you know,
honorable mention.
Yeah.
Honorable mention of a bad movie. Doom.
The first one or the new one? There's a newer one on Netflix.
The one with The Rock.
That is a rough one. The only good part about that movie, I think, is the first person scene.
That's
when
it.
When you're actually running through like the game. I thought that was really cool.
Right.
But go. Yeah, we can go on and on with those. Like the first Mortal Kombat movie. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Meh.
Yeah, because they didn't really. It's not like they reinvented the wheel or anything. I mean, they didn't bring anything original to it. Let's put it like that, you know. But still, Mortal Kombat still rocks. I mean, it's still my man, Sub-Zero. As long as I see Sub in it, you know, and Liu Kang, I'm pretty happy.
So just some of the other ones to mention that are getting ready to come out that are at least in or upcoming. I don't know if they're in pre-production. I don't know what's going on. Five Nights at Freddy's movie's coming out. Gears of War.
Gears of War is going to be good.
Yeah, Just Dance. I don't know how they're going to do that in a movie. Metal Gear Solid, Space Invaders. We're getting a sequel to Tomb Raider and a Yakuza movie based on the video game.
How about Twisted Metal? Isn't it?
Twisted Metal did not get a movie. That would be an interesting movie, an interesting take. But then you kind of have like, I don't know, you kind of see that almost like Need for Speed, which was a movie.
Yeah.
So
true.
And of course, these are all worldwide. Like I said, the list of movies made in Japan, especially the live action ones,
mm-hmm.
Are ridiculous. Taiwan, China, they got a few of their own. And then some of, the direct to video movies. So they're all over the place. Check them out. Let us know, like Anthony said, let us know your favorite, your least favorite. What game do you wish is made into a movie? Maybe ones that's not even announced yet, like these pre-production ones. Like GTA, can you imagine that as a movie?
Oh man, that's another one that should have been made into. Yeah, but then okay, but then let me ask you this: what would be different about a film like that that really you can't get from like Goodfellas?
Well, that's the job of the writers.
From like, you know, like, I mean, like there was a game called Mafia and Mafia 2.
Mm-hmm.
I love those two games. Some really fun games. The thing about it is, if they created it, it would just be Goodfellas, or it would just be Casino. I mean, there really would not be anything different that, you know, they can introduce, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, hey, Max Payne, Hitman, those were two films that I was that were based off video games, right?
Yep. I didn't see either one of them, though, but I heard good things about Max Payne, I think.
Me neither. I haven't seen either. So I'm kind of wondering how good they are.
So
anybody know out there? Let us know.
Yeah, definitely hit us up. And we're going to start getting ready to wrap this up. Okay. But, you know, Hollywood, you know, been a little, I think we need some of this entertainment again to kind of get us out of the reality just for a couple of hours. And but this good episode, I got to say, and good episode, a good reunion, if you will.
Hey, man,
we haven't podcasted in a while.
Absolutely. It feels good to be back on the mic. Feels good to be back in the forum. You know, it's really cool. For those of you who are asking about, you know, the reboot or the, you know, the re-upping of the show of the Yin and the Yang. Hey, I'm working on it, man. It's just been a lot going on, you know. So,
dude, you gotta do. You have anything else happening? Anything else you want to plug or mention?
Not really. Just that okay. I moved out to the DMV, which is the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very different and very weird place, actually. It's very different from home, you know, from back home in New York and New Jersey. Just going, you know, I'm actually getting ready to prep up for my certified personal trainer test.
Oh, cool.
That's going to happen in a couple of
minutes. Oh, boy. You better wrap this up.
A couple of months. I need another cup of coffee is what I think. So yeah, I mean, basically I'm getting ready for that. And then other than that, man, I always look forward every week to listening to you and Anthony talk about retro video gaming. So it's like, hey man, you know, I look forward to it because I have a commute. So, you know, it's good to listen to it and get, you know, not just being awake on the wheel, you know, behind the wheel, but to also get a great program like this, man. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And yeah, definitely be on the lookout. If Anthony starts dropping anything, we'll definitely let you know here. You know, we'll definitely share it and let you know the links.
I'll give you guys an exclusive, I promise.
That sounds good to me. And of course, with us, make sure you listen everywhere. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that thumbs up button, please. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, check us out on Instagram TV. You can email us, email@theretrogamers.com. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, @RetroGamersPodcast, Twitter, @RetroGamersPod. And with that, I believe, again, first of all, Anthony, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it, everybody.
And folks, with that, we will catch you everywhere next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.